This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome along, week two of the official NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Round one is down. We've got something to talk about at last. Basketball action is back in the West.
Yeah, round one's in the bag and lots of interesting results on both sides of the competition. And some great things happening again, as we knew would be in the new NBL One West.
Now, obviously, everything is new. There's bound to be some teething problems. I heard that some of the live streams on the Friday night were a little bit bumpy, but Saturday night, it was smooth sailing for those games, for those who checked it out online.
Yeah, look, I was very, very fortunate to be able to go to the Joondalup Wolves East Perth game on Friday night, and the production there and the way things were happening. I spoke to Ryan Hunter, the president, and he was very nervous before tip-off. And I guess probably one of the biggest hiccups of the round was the Eastern Suns versus the Geraldton Buccaneers game being called off due to the cyclone damage.
Yeah, of course. I'd heard various rumours whether it was partially cyclone damage, but then there was also something about it was being used as a bit of a centre to house people whose houses got blown away, essentially.
Yeah, looked, saw the Instagram post that went up, and essentially the armed forces came in and set it up as a tent city and a triage for people that had been relocated due to the storm damage. So our thoughts are with Dale Joseph and his team and everyone in that northwest region that was affected.
Now, some huge news for junior basketball in Western Australia across the weekend as well.
Yeah, an amazing result for our under 18 boys and coach Andrew Cooper, who brings home his second gold medal as the head coach of our West Australian national team, and just a Herculean effort by him and the boys to bring home the gold.
Now, our second podcast, thank you all for your support on the first one, whether you caught it live on the air or on the podcast version, whether it be on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, TuneIn and whatnot. We do appreciate your love and feedback. On this second edition, we're hoping to be chatting with Fleur McIntyre. We're going to have a player guest appearance for you a little bit later on as well. And also Cam Luke, one of the NBL commentators, is going to join us to give us a little bit of buzz from the East Coast, hopefully too.
Yeah, someone that's come up through the NBL One ranks and is now on the commentary team of a few NBL games. So as we spoke about last week, lots of pathways.
Of course, we've got all of the round reviews from last week. We'll take a look at what's coming up this weekend if you'd like to catch some NBL One West action at your local stadium as well.
Yeah, look, I was fortunate enough, as I said, to get to the Joondalup game and then was also able to watch several games across the weekend across all platforms of NBL One, which was just great.
Look, how good is it just to be able to see the highlights packages? And from a coaching perspective, no need to go and look at other teams necessarily now in person. You've got it all there to enjoy in your own leisure.
Yeah, it was very nice to spend a Saturday night at home flicking across, and I described it to a few of my friends as almost like the NCAA tournament. There was 30-odd games across the weekend across all the leagues, and was great to sit at home and click around and have a look at the best games that were happening at the time.
We'll be back to take a look at the round one reviews and results from the NBL One West women here on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett and Ben with you, and we're joined on the line by one-time SBL commissioner and girl around town, Fleur McIntyre. How are you doing?
Very well, guys. Thanks so much for the invitation to join you.
Well, we're always keen to represent the women's game. You're a bit of a legend of the women's game down there at Coburn, and you've also been calling some of the games for the Cougars as well, men and women, I believe.
I did. I had the opportunity to head down to the first NBL One West game on the weekend, which was fantastic. And, yeah, the opportunity to have a look at Rockingham and Coburn in round one.
Results down there for you. It looked like your Cougars got up 85-78 in that one.
Yeah, they did. It was a really high-scoring, entertaining game, if I'm really honest, for round one. I think Stephen Charlton and I were expecting a little bit of a dour struggle for both teams, as it often seems to be the case in round one with teams, you know, first game of the season. But it was very high scoring. You know, the dynamic duo of Taya Burrows and Alex Cibitone did their thing for Rockingham, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this season. But Coburn's new recruits and some more depth, and I think adding some height, it was really pleasing to watch them come away with a win against, which I think is going to be a very tough Rockingham outfit.
Now, of the games that I saw online, I didn't hear any other female voices on there. Now, I'm a huge fan of Doris Burke calling in the NBA, for example. I'm going to name you the Perth Doris Burke from here on in, but can we recruit more women into the fray?
Oh, look, I think you can. I think I have a few ex-teammates, actually, that I think have had some phone calls from Tyrone down at Coburn to come and call some games. So, yeah, I think it'd be nice to hopefully get some, you know, ex-SPL players along and, you know, to give their insights in the game. But I'll 100% take that Doris Burke reference. Thanks so much for that, Brett.
And on the flip side, Fleur, how was it working alongside Stephen Charlton, a long-time men's SPL coach, calling the women's game? How did you go with that?
Yeah, he did really well, Ben. It was really interesting. We did get a few text messages from people, mainly my brother Sheldon, when they found out that we were going to call the game, that would there be enough airspace for both of us to have a microphone and get a word in. But it was really enjoyable coaching with, you know, calling the game with Charlie. And both of us, I think, were a little bit like, well, we'll see how this goes for the first one. And it went really well. So I think he enjoyed being in the play-by-play seat. And obviously he offers great insight in terms of his success and his knowledge that he can pass on, particularly with Coburn Cougars and the Goldfields Giants.
Other games on the Friday night, the Joondalup Wolves got up over the East Perth Eagles, 76-55.
Yeah, this was a game that I was at, and I think we saw a very much improved East Perth Eagles team. Blake Sraldev now in his second season, if you will, after the West Coast Classic. They've added Goulding from New Zealand, I believe, and she just gives them that extra ball carrier and a bit of an avenue to basket. And speaking to Coach Nix after the game, he was very, very happy with his team's execution and the way they went about it. Very balanced attack and much like the Wolves of last year, the ones that we saw take out the West Coast Classic.
The other Friday fixture was the Mandurah Magic doubling the Southwest Slammers 100-49. So that was a big result there.
Yeah, look, that's I think we're seeing a tale of two teams. One team that's very much been together for a while. Vlad Alava now down there as the head coach, getting him organised, and the Slammers with a new head coach and very much in a rebuilding phase.
Klaus Dorney, I see a name synonymous with Mandurah, traditionally with 29 points for the Magic, did very well.
Yeah, so I'm very as fortunate to have a couple of chats to Casey Milo, a good friend of mine, over the weekend. And she said that this was obviously a career high for Emma Costorni. So she's been in Kalgoorlie for the previous year and a half. So I think Mandurah are very happy to get her to come back and play for them this year. And I think, you know, their rotation, she's playing a little bit of both off the wing and inside, and was the recipient of some great offense and was able to finish. She shot the ball exceptionally well that game and ended up with a career high of 29.
The final Friday night fixture saw the Perth Redbacks 95 getting up over the Warwick Senators 78. That may have been a surprise to some.
Yeah, look, I think so. I think everyone expects Warwick to be quite strong this year. I watched some of the game and I watched some of the highlights, and obviously, you know, really nice to see that Mac Dyer had an absolute night out with 30 points. And, you know, I still think Warwick will be thereabouts, particularly after last year's West Coast Classic performance. But I think Redbacks would be very, very pleased to get that one in the opening round of the season against them.
Thanks very much. We may take a short break on the NBL One West radio show, and we'll return with some more results from the women's round one action on NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
We're back again, NBL One West radio show. Brett, Ben, and we're joined on the line by Fleur as well as we run through Saturday night's round one results in NBL One West. First of the Saturday night games saw the Warwick Senators bouncing back with a big win, 102-52 over the Southwest Slammers.
Yeah, look, any time you're in a doubleheader situation, you want to split that weekend, and the Senators definitely came out and took care of business on that second night out against, as we said, the rebuilding Slammers.
Yeah, they've pretty much been doubled two nights in a row, so that's going to be somewhat disheartening for the Slammers, I imagine.
Yeah, look, as a coach, and Fleur would know this as well, you're trying to always pick out the positives for your team, especially in a loss like that. They know they haven't sort of met the mark, so it's no point harping on what we did wrong. Let's sort of try and focus on where we want to get to and the things we did right.
Then another match on the Saturday night saw the East Perth Eagles getting up a small margin of just 4 points over the Mandurah Magic, 66-62.
Yeah, and Mandurah were down most of the night. It was a struggle for them. They didn't shoot the ball particularly well, and I don't think they played particularly well. And, you know, as Ben mentioned previously, the addition of Goulding's been a really nice one for East Perth. I think she gives them the stability. And they had a nice spread of scorers against Mandurah in this particular game, with obviously four people double figures, which, you know, in the past, it's probably been a little bit of a struggle for that consistency and people, you know, adding to the scores. So I think they'd be very, very happy to upset. Well, I think it's potentially an upset with them, you know, knocking off Mandurah. As, you know, Ben alluded to earlier, you know, Vlad's only been in the past month as the head coach. So I think they're probably going to have a few teething problems early in the year and just finding some consistency and working out players' roles and who fits where. So I think we'll see Mandurah really improve and come together as the season goes on.
The final match of the round saw the Willetton Tigers in another fairly lopsided affair, 89-34 over the Lakeside Lightning. No player from Lakeside registering double figures in that match.
Yeah, look, for Coach Dave Daniels, that might be a bit of an issue moving forward. He is the only coach currently coaching both men's and women's NBL 1 teams, and I'm sure he would love to see a little bit more offence similar to his men's Lakeside team, if that's possible.
Fleur, their roster looks quite reasonable. I don't think that's an issue. Perhaps it's just a one-game, you know, glitch.
Yeah, maybe. I was surprised at the margin. They do have, I mean, they've obviously got two of their more well-known players in, you know, Emma Clark and Ash Isambaga, who obviously, you know, had quiet nights. The rest of their roster's quite young, so they're certainly going to need, I guess, maybe a third scorer in there somewhere. Most teams generally have three. So I think, yeah, Dave Daniels certainly going to have a look at where he's going to get that third scoring option from. And on the flip side, Willetton have got a fair bit of offensive firepower, as we see Alex Sharp make her debut in the NBL 1 West and put up 25-12, which is a nice little start for her in this season.
Yeah, and just looking at the stats very quickly there, when your two leading scorers go 4 of 27 and as a team you're shooting 19% from the floor, that's not really going to get it done.
And that's it then for round one women's action on the NBL 1 West. Thanks so much for your time, Fleur, and for your insights into the women's game.
Not a problem, guys. Happy to be here and looking forward to seeing how this plays out across the NBL 1 West season. I think there's some really exciting players in the league and teams have made some improvements. So really, really happy with the opening round and can't wait to see how it all pans out.
Really looking forward to hearing your calls as well down there at Wally Hagen Stadium.
Very exciting. I'm happy to be involved.
Thanks so much, Fleur. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL 1 West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL 1 West Radio Show.
NBL 1 West Radio Show, Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. We trust that you've got around to either your local stadium across the weekend or maybe you were watching online on the nbl1.com.au website or maybe the NBL app as well. Certainly, both of us watched a couple of games in person and online.
Yeah, no, it was great. As I said, Friday night was at a game and we had the other two games sitting in front of us watching those. And then on Saturday night, just flicked around Australia and watched the cream of the crop as it was.
Now, the one I believe that you were at saw the Joondalup Wolves getting up over the East Perth Eagles 98-57 on Friday night.
Yeah, I was very honoured to be asked to present Seb Salinas with his 450th game presentation. So that was great. And what I saw was a Wolves team that was just far too deep. Lockie Cummings and Jacob Formosa have formed one of the best backcourts I've seen in a long time in the league. And their bigs combo of Huntington, Vian Gina and Madge Garang provided plenty of avenue to basket inside the paint. And look, East Perth, they're really going to struggle without that direct avenue to basket. Kieran Berry and Andre Dodd-Largic are serviceable. And Jared Anastasio came up with probably two of the biggest blocks I've seen in a long time in the in State League basketball. So, but yeah, the Wolves too deep.
Now, jumping around a Saturday night, but just because we were talking about the East Perth Eagles, they managed to get up over the Mandurah Magic. Now, Mandurah came storming back towards the end of that game. I checked out the last few minutes online, but fantastic return to them for the second second night at least anyway.
Yeah, look, for me, it was great to see, again, Kieran Berry, someone I rate very highly, come out and have a great game. 27 points, 6 points, 6 rebounds and 4 assists is great return from your point guard. And young Logan Thwaites, someone who's sort of moved from Joondalup to Warwick and now to East Perth, finding his feet and providing, again, a stretch four that can shoot the ball and go and get himself a few rebounds as well.
Although Mandurah suffered that loss on the Saturday night, they did have a win on the Friday against the Southwest Slammers, 89-67.
Yeah, and look, Traher would be very happy with his off-season signings there. Ben Smith coming back and Xavier Shaw and Aku Ding joining him in the paint there. They provided that sort of bigs that weren't there last year. And Jeremy Grace is a great NBL one-level point guard. And Mitch Keller for Bunbury, he is a workhorse. He showed that last year and a double-double is sort of the lone big down there for Bunbury. Some good things happening for him.
If I recall correctly, yourself and Chris last week had picked the Coburn Cougars to get up over the Rockingham Flames. That didn't work out that way. 86 to the Flames, 72 to the Coburn Cougars.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the Cougars may have struggled from that first game together. Adding someone like Nick Posoglu is a big in. But the Flames definitely showed that they're going to be a force to reckon with. You know, Travis Dernan and Callum Beard gave them great production on the wings, and Riak on the boards was a one-man wrecking crew. And if you think they've got Jervis and Hire to come, they won't lose many rebounding battles. And, of course, it was great to see the veterans, Buff Godfrey and Gavin Field. I'd put Gav Field in MVP-type form at the moment, having watched him play that one.
And I think they'll expect more from Posoglu as the season goes on as well. He only had 10 points. I think that would probably be one of his lowest scores on the season.
Most definitely. And what I saw from Nick was every time there was a dead ball, every time there was a stoppage in play, he was the one that was bringing everyone in together. And that's why they've got him there as well. And we know he can play basketball. But to see his leadership with such a young group out on the floor, and saying that also they didn't have Xavier Chan and their gold medal winning coach, Andrew Cooper, was away. So I would expect them to turn that around in the next couple of weeks once they get that full deck.
The final Friday night fixture was the Warwick Senators getting up 86-52 over the Perth Redbacks.
Yeah, look, the Senators are showing why they are the reigning West Coast Classic champions. Too balanced. Caleb Davis was outstanding across both games this weekend. And, you know, they are settled. They have a great NBL level point guard. They have two guys who have played NBL, or Caleb Davis has been a development player, and Justin King. They are as probably showing why, as I said, they are the reigning champions and are one of the top sort of two or three teams in the league.
I've always liked Caleb Davis's game, but his three-point shooting across the weekend probably surprised me a little bit.
Look, that's Caleb's game, and he's added that. If you look at his college highlight tape, he was down low, rebounds, putbacks, all those sorts of things, and as he's come to this level, I think he's showing some signs that a few teams might be looking at. That guy who's 6'9", 6'10", and has that stroke from outside, they're always welcome on a lot of teams. If you can put the ball in the hole, a coach will find minutes for you.
The Senators also got up on Saturday night, 96 over the Slammers, 60.
Yeah, very one-sided in this one. I would think that the Senators opening up 2-for-2 is what we would have expected. And then, again, a bit of a quiet one from Mitch Keller, double-double still. And Reece Barrett there, serviceable with 19 points, you know, providing that other avenue to basket for Mark Worthington.
Corey Richardson's a quality player. May expect more from him as the season goes on as well.
Yeah, I remember Corey hitting a massive three-pointer against us to get the Slammers the win last year. He's that type of player. He's been around for a long time. He's spent some time overseas, and those sorts of guys are always handy to have up your sleeve coming off the bench and providing that veteran leadership.
Saturday night saw the Perry Lakes Hawks travel up to Neil Hansen Stadium there on the Goldfields and got up over the Goldfields Giants 100-89.
Watched this one and was very caught at the battle of the big bodies. Every guy that stepped on the floor looked to be like 6'4" and above and 105 kilos and above. And, you know, the Hawks, I think their continuity of their roster, having Matt Parsons now for 3 or 4 years as the head coach, their system is in place. They can add in a few guys that slot into their roles very easily. For them, though, it came down to Cooper Hamilton. He just blew this game apart. Had three possessions in a row where he just knocked down three consecutive shots, I think, and had a great assist from Mitch Clark, a behind-the-back pass on the fast break to sort of break the game wide open. And then the Giants just couldn't get that back. And we spoke about Caleb Davis being that sort of stretch four. Den Kwani was great as well. You know, he provided that outside perimeter threat, which is probably the downfall for the Giants at the moment. They don't have that knockdown shooter from outside. But know, having someone like that that can step out and stretch the floor for you is going to be very, very good for them.
The standout for me was certainly Andrew Ferguson, his work on the boards and also his shooting two or three threes. He's quite handy for a big from outside.
Yeah, I think we saw both him and Corey Sherville dropping back from Wildcats duties, and it's great to see the NBL supporting the NBL one like that. And, as I said before, anyone that can put the ball in the basket, your coach is going to find time for you.
And the final game of the opening round for NBL 1 West saw the Willetton Tigers 96 over the Lakeside Lightning 87.
Yeah, and look, I wouldn't say it was an upset of sorts. However, perhaps the result didn't go quite the way people would have thought looking at the lineups on paper. But the Tigers under new coach Adam Nina looked really good. They got the ball up and down the floor very quickly. And young Roosevelt Williams Jr. Put a big footprint on the Rookie of the Year campaign. He was outstanding. And for Lakeside, they just looked a little bit disjointed. Although the guys have been there for a while, when you're adding back Kyle Armour and Jack Eisenbarger, and then also someone like Corey Sherville, they need to sort of work out whose ball it is and at whose time. So, and on the flip side there for Willetton, it's going to be interesting to see the development of Connor Minchinton and Travis Fee now that there's another ball handler there, and do they have enough minutes to fit all three young point guards into their rotation.
Of course, you can find all of the results and reviews at the nbl1.com.au website. Just select West along the top. You can check out all the box scores. You can even watch the replays and highlights of the game as well. We'll be back with more on NBL One West Radio Show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello, Chris Pike, and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West action. We're back here with Ben Ettridge and Brett Costello, taking you through all the local basketball action. We were hoping to have Ryan Godfrey on. He's got a 250 milestone coming up, but understand we couldn't quite get him because he's caught in training, so I guess a valid excuse.
Yeah, look, one of those anomalies where we're sitting here doing a show right in the middle of practice for a few teams, so unfortunately Boof doesn't get to have a chat.
We have been chasing down 2019 Women's MVP Stacey Barr as well. We hope to connect with her in future weeks, and we'd even tried to speak with Andrew Cooper after the fantastic under-18s WA win, but technology has failed us on that one.
Yeah, look, would have been great to chat to Coach Cooper and get his thoughts on how the boys went and you know, pick his brain over who he thinks is ready to make that jump from that under-18 gold medal winning team to an NBL One roster and perhaps make a big impact there as well.
Before this week's show is out, we'll be talking to Cam Luke to give us a lowdown on what's happening Eastern Stateside. He's from NBL Overtime. You may have come across him. We'll also be previewing the round two action to come in NBL One. Now, only one round down, but there's a little bit of a sort of a style of the haves and have-nots that's starting to flow out a little bit.
Yeah, and what I think we're starting to see is you know, those teams that have had that continuity in their roster and their coaching staff starting to already show the signs that you know, that the coach can fall back on that residual knowledge that their teams have. And we see, you know, Warwick and Joondalup and the Flames and Perry Lake sort of already sort of in that top four spot, and I wouldn't think that they would move much out of that as we go forward. And then sort of same thing on the women's side. Those teams that have been very consistent over the last few years seem to have already started to take that ascendancy.
In the women's, of course, a couple of teams yet to play even after round one. The Suns, for obvious reasons, couldn't travel up to the Bucks, but they don't have a women's team anyway. And similarly, I guess, with the Hawks, no women's team out in the goldfields as yet.
Yeah, and look, I'd be expecting those two to sort of, you know, really make a jump this year, although the Hawks were up and about and around the mark last year. But Kalamunda especially, having recruited and Craigs Mantfield there as the head coach, you know, they won't stay in that 11th and 12th spot much longer.
Certainly a big, long weekend of action, games on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We'll be previewing all of those for you and more soon on the NBL One West Radio Show.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. Ben and Brett with you as we take a look at round two upcoming for the women in the NBL One West. The round opens, of course, on the Friday night, 6:30 p.m. down there at the Eaton Rec Centre, the Southwest Slammers hosting the Lakeside Lightning.
Yeah, I'd be looking for Coach Dave Daniels to have his team on the shooting machine all week and rectify that shooting percentage from week one, and Lakeside to be too strong for the Slammers at home.
The Slammers struggling, as we mentioned a bit earlier on when Fleur was on, to date at least anyway, and look, it's only two games in for them, I guess, but two such smashing results, it's hard to see them beating too many teams this year.
And as I said, it's about the small wins and setting those goals that are achievable, and I'm sure the new coach down there will be doing that.
Herb Graham Rec Centre sees the East Perth Eagles hosting the Coburn Cougars. The women tip off at 6:30 p.m.
And as Fleur sort of alluded to, the Cougars have made some nice additions, as have East Perth, but I think the Cougars will be too set and too solid for East Perth in this one.
Women's tip off 6:30 p.m. at the Mike Barnett Sports Complex as the Flames host the Magic.
Yeah, and Coach Alava's got them up and about, and they're excited to play down there at Magic. So I'd be tipping the Magic to get the win over the Flames in that one.
The three-day long weekend continues on Saturday, a 5 p.m. tip-off at the Wally Hagen Stadium as the Cougars host the Redbacks in the women's action.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2 for 2 for the Cougars in this one and get the W down there at Wally Hagen at home.
It's a 6 p.m. tip-off at Bendat as the Perry Lakes Hawks host the Joondalup Wolves.
Yeah, and the Wolves have got that winning feeling at Bendat, having finally broke through with the championship there, and having watched them play last week, they were very, very good, and Coach Nix will have them ready and firing for this one.
Women's action comes to Warwick Stadium at 5 p.m. as the Senators host the Perry Lakes Hawks on Sunday evening.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with the Senators in this one. At home, one win is a win streak, and I think they'll be able to carry on and get the job done here.
It's also a 5 p.m. tip-off at Willetton Basketball Stadium to round out round two NBL One action as Willetton Tigers host the Kalamunda Eastern Suns.
And I'm probably going to tip with my heart with this one rather than my head and go with the hometown Suns and say that they're going to get it done. So Suns for me.
You can get all of that information about the upcoming games for your long weekend at nbl1.com.au. Just select West along the top or check out the NBL app. We'll be back with more on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back. Ben Ettridge and Brett Costello with you as we take a look at the NBL One West fixtures for round two, this time in the men's, kicking off on Friday night, 8:30 p.m. at Eaton Rec Centre. The Southwest Slammers will take on the Lakeside Lightning.
Yeah, those games down in Bunbury can be very difficult on a Friday night, but I think the Lakeside Lightning will bounce back. Those three of Sherville, Eisenbarger and Armour will be looking to atone for perhaps a poor showing last weekend.
Out at Herb Graham Rec Centre, after beating the Mandurah Magic their last round, the East Perth Eagles will host the Coburn Cougars.
Yeah, and look, winning form is good form. However, I think the Cougars will be raring to go with Andrew Cooper back, and Nick Posoglu will start to find his feet and lead them to a victory there with Gav Field by his side.
The South Side matchup between the Rockingham Flames and the Mandurah Magic at Mike Barnett's Sports Complex.
And I'd be looking for the Flames to carry on their winning form against Mandurah there. The matchup inside, if Greg Heyer is back from injury, I think might prove a bit too much for the Magic's bigs, and Ryan Godfrey and Travis Dernan, always quality.
The Mandurah Magic backing up on the Saturday night and heading home to host the Geraldton Buccaneers.
Yeah, look, hopefully the Bucks are able to get down and play this game, and I would think, just given the disruption that they've had, and you know the players that haven't been able to get in, the magic at home probably will be a little bit too much. But thoughts with the Bucks, and hopefully they can get down.
After facing the East Perth Eagles on the Friday night, the Coburn Cougars will play host to the Perth Redbacks. 7 p.m. tip-off for the men at Wally Hagen Stadium.
Yeah, look, it's going to be very close. Both teams probably a little bit undermanned, especially if Saver and Jared Holmes aren't there for the Cougars. If they are, and being at home, I will tip with the Cougars.
If you're keen to head down to the Lakeside Rec Centre, men will tip off at 7 p.m. as the Lakeside Lightning host the Goldfield Giants.
Yeah, I'd be looking for the Goldfield Giants to come down, and they do travel well. They've done it forever, and I'd be looking for them to get on the board in this one. I think they'll be a little bit too big across the board for Lakeside, although Jared Prue will provide a formidable target for them and probably lead the game in rebounding. But the Giants for me in this one.
After travelling up to the Goldfields last round, the Perry Lakes Hawks will host their first home game at Bendat, this time against the Joondalup Wolves. Tip off 8 p.m. for that one.
Yeah, and this will be a classic matchup. They always are between the Hawks and the Wolves. And I think you know, the Wolves will be up and about. As I said, Jacob Formosa and Lockie Cummings are a very, very good backcourt. But I think this game will be one on the boards, and I think Perry Lakes will just be too big.
Four Sunday fixtures in NBL One West action given the long weekend. Sunday, April 25, 1 p.m. tip-off, the Perth Redbacks hosting the Geraldton Buccaneers.
Yeah, look, there's no real match-up for Lewis Timms in this game, and I would think this would be one that he would be looking forward to. The Bucks, again, having not played first week and having travelled this week, I think might be a little bit underdone, so the Redbacks for me.
The Goldfields Giants head to HBF Arena to face the Joondalup Wolves in their second match of the long weekend. Men's tips off at 1 p.m.
Yeah, and I think the Wolves will be ready for this one. The Goldfields will have had their 40 minutes of running against Lakeside the night before, but the Wolves will be too good at home.
In what's become a bit of a tradition between the Warwick Senators and the Perry Lakes Hawks, their Anzac Day matchup tips off at 7 p.m. on the Sunday night up there at Warwick Stadium.
The grand final rematch, both teams, like I said at the start, are very, very similar to last year. Both have made a couple of additions. Being that it is at Warwick's home court, I'm going to tip the Senators.
And the final match of the round occurs at Willerton Basketball Stadium between the Tigers and the visiting Kalamunda Eastern Suns, men's at 7 p.m.
Yeah, and for me, you know, we've had an extra week to prepare, and the Tigers will be coming off off a win last weekend. Last year they got us in the first round of the West Coast Classic, caught us a bit off guard, but I think up the hill on the Sunday, the Eastern Suns will be ready.
I hope you'll get around to one of those games at your local stadium or association, or maybe check out the streams online, nbl1.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back. It is the official NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you this week. We're covering all the local basketball action from the NBL One West. And on the line, we're joined by Dale Joseph, the head coach of the Geraldton Buccaneers. Podcast exclusive content now here on NBL One West. Dale, presumably you've been following Alex's progress over in the States and all that sort of thing as well. What have you been hearing back from him, and are you sort of in any regular contact with him, I guess?
Yeah, only by message. I know he's had a bit of a frustrating year. He got injured just before Christmas, had a few weeks off with an ankle injury, and then they came back. I think he might have played one game, and then they've had a COVID issue through St Mary's, and then he had some back spasms and then missed another few weeks and then got to play two or three at the end and was just starting to get the feel of things again, I think, and then the season ended for them. So,
right.
I'm not sure he's getting to come back at all for their holiday break, but my understanding is he's probably going to stay in the US and prepare to have another a good season over there.
A question for me is, you know, the heart and soul of your team the last couple of years has been Liam Hunt, and we saw him go down, you know, terribly last year in the West Coast Classic. Not is he playing, but how's he doing, and is he up and about, and is he still around Geraldton, or is he somewhere else? Like, what's his status at the moment?
He's up and about. He's been down, he doesn't miss a training session. He's still down there every session. He's sort of been helping out with some coaching.
That's great.
With some of our younger guys, and you know, he picks his teams, and you know, if there's penalties for teams for whatever issues they may be, he gets down and does his push-ups or sit-ups and
okay, that's
and stuff,
good.
Still being part of the team and stuff. So Liam's been amazing. I'm not sure how others would get through it, but he seems to be very positive in his attitude and in his recovery. And you know, he hopes to be able to play at some point again in the near future. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah, I flicked him a message after we'd actually spoken, and it happened pretty much that next week. And look, there's a bit similar to mine. Just one of those things, that a freak accident that basically set you back quite a bit. So yeah, glad to hear he's up and about and on the
yeah yeah no he's in good spirits, mate, and he's you know, his goal is to get back and play at whatever level that may be. He's just had his foot taken out of a splint that he had in for another I think that was about 8 to 10 weeks. He had his foot in a splint after all the other issues he'd had as well, so right. I think he's glad to have a bit of freedom with that, and he's back driving. And he's been awesome around the club, and he's helping motivate the younger guys. And when I say young guys, we've got some guys that are 15 and 16 that have been training with us, and he's been working real closely with them to, you know, to help them get up to our level a little bit, so which has been real helpful.
That's great.
Appreciate your time. Good luck, and good luck with the weather as well.
No worries, guys.
Okay.
Thanks,
yeah,
Dad.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Cheers.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye for now. Bye.
Yeah.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And on the line, as we round out this week's show, we've got Cam Luke. Now, if you've listened to any NBL telecasts in recent times, you may have heard Cam did start off by doing some NBL One, I believe, as well, Cam. And now you're in the big leagues at the NBL.
I did. Hello, guys. Yeah, it was... It was how I sort of got, I've done a lot of obviously radio and TV stuff, but I had never really done any play-by-play the last couple of years, and NBL One debuted 2 years ago, and capped my teeth there, and now involved in the NBL, which is good fun.
And just on that, Cam, you know, how was that received, being the sort of the flagship NBL One league that was started up? You know, how were those live streams received, and the quality of the games?
Yeah, the games were really good, and it's something that I think I've sort of spoken a little bit about that in the last couple of years. With people at NBL headquarters and also at, you know, commentators and people across the NBL One League. I was really impressed with how professional it was. Having played at that level before with NBL One many, many moons ago, I'd sort of had a bit of an idea how the competition was and how it works and all the rest of it. But the professionalism of it in 2019, obviously with all the games being streamed, so you could watch any game you wanted. When it comes to scouting and recruiting, that's only going to help the games as well, because even though they're not full-time coaches, a lot of these NBL One coaches, they do a lot of extracurricular type of stuff to be able to make sure that going forward they're ready to go. So this is the amount of professionalism. And when I got, I was lucky enough to be doing, the games that I did was game of the week. So when I was able to go to different games, it was traditionally a game that was the two higher teams in the league. So I was able to go into associations and meet some of the local, not just players, but the local sort of media people and governing bodies. And yeah, I was wrapped as it continues to grow. Of course, NBL One West, we're 12 months delayed than when it should have been, obviously, with so much changing in the last 12 months of the pandemic. But it just continues to get bigger and bigger. And looking forward to, you know, 3 or 4 years' time when the NBL and WNBL go back to their summer seasons, and this league is going to get bigger because all the players are keen. So, perfect example, Mitch McCarron's flying at the moment for Melbourne United, and he's going to play in the NBL One up in Queensland and NBL One North later in the year. So that's the type of players we see. Opals, Darcy Garvin and Tessa Levy playing, Jenner O'Hay. It's a remarkably strong league in all conferences.
And just on that, you know, you've mentioned a couple of names there. Are there any other sort of players and coaches that, you know, on the East Coast that we've seen running around in those WNBL and NBL teams that you know that have sort of signed on with any other teams?
I know that Knox are going to be really strong in the men's department. We see Jack White, who's been playing really well at Melbourne United before his Achilles. He was going to play at Geelong. We see Dan Trist, Dylan Stike, who are playing in the NBL at the moment, are going to be at Frankston. And then I'm going to see Mason Peatling, who is now a starter for Melbourne United, play at Knox when we get into the end of the season. It's a little bit different this year because we're seeing NBL guys who are currently still with their teams unable to go and join their local associations of NBL One teams until at least sort of, maybe late July, late June, early July, if you're playing in a grand final series. But I think as we get closer towards the end of the season, the opportunities to go overseas or maybe take a holiday aren't going to be as big this year due to quarantining and how the world currently is. So the opportunity, I think, if we get to the last week or two of the NBL seasons of the regular season, or be it into the actual playoffs, and then all of a sudden these players want to, you know, play, for 2 or 3 months, I think we're going to see a raft of signings late as well.
Much like the G League sort of works a bit in the NBA, we saw the Wildcats over the weekend release their DP and even one of their regular players, Corey Sherville, into the NBL 1 West just to get some extra playing time and help out their local association. Have you seen much of that on the East Coast?
Haven't seen it just yet, of course, only the first week of the NBL 1 South this weekend. But I think we will see a little bit of that. I think as time goes on, look, Corey Sherville, who's actually having a really nice year, but he's a guy that if he plays on a Saturday night, He's right to go on a Sunday. We see back-to-backs in basketball right across the world. So the Wildcats and Trevor Gleeson isn't asking Corey Sherville to play 35 minutes a game. So to go out there and continue to work on his game. And I think as we sort of see a little bit more of it, in particular the Phoenix and Melbourne United, we'll look to release a couple of their guys. Obviously, they won't miss NBL games, but as they've got opportunities, in particular the reserve players. That's going to be the big thing. They're reserve players. They're going to have opportunities, I think, to join their local team.
And you know, from your perspective as someone who's sort of played the game for a while and been around the game for a long time, what are the similarities that you're seeing, you know, at maybe some of the bigger clubs and associations in their broadcasts as to, you know, what you're seeing at the NBL level? As I know, teams are aspiring to emulate what's happening up there. Are you seeing similarities?
Most certainly. I think the professionalism, I think it goes... in any way, in any sport, and almost probably in any aspect of life, when you have an opportunity, one, to be a bit more professional and have a bit more, and a lot more exposed, to be fair, how the NBL one is. And it's just as simple as going on the NBL app and seeing the drop-down box. And it's so easy to get scores and stats and to be able to watch games via the website as well. But I think any time that happens, the level just raises organically. No one wants to be in a situation where they're not putting out a good product, and no one wants to be in a situation where they're given opportunities to be exposed either as a coach, as a media professional, or someone who's trying to get into media, or does it even as a hobby, or even as a player. And the ability for the NBL one to expose and exaggerate the type of and the amount of eyeballs that are on games, be it broadcast or in the stands, just means that everyone's going to get better as time goes on. We've seen it with the NBL the last 3 or 4 years. The next stars, you know, LaMelo Ball comes over, RJ Hampton comes over, Brian Bowen comes over, Didi Lazada comes over, and all of a sudden, it's a place where people want to play, be it imports or the local Australians want to say, you know what, I don't want to play in Russia anymore, I don't want to play in the G League, I want to play in Australia because there's more eyeballs on it, it's becoming more professional, and all of a sudden, that snowballs into bigger and better, and I don't see the NBL one being any different to that. We're going to see NBL and WNBL players continue to go back, play good basketball, and make everyone more professional, and as on-court gets professional, so does off-court, and it just leads into this great product, and I can't wait to every state and territory around the country all play NBL 1 and have that kind of college atmosphere. In particular, later in years when you get seedings and qualify for national championships, it's a big thing. It's going to get unbelievably heated, I reckon, in a good way later in the year.
Cam Luke, we appreciate your time so much and we look forward to hearing you on the box calling the NBL again soon.
Yeah, most definitely. Don't forget NBL Overtime tomorrow, ESPN. 7 p.m. although in your way it might be 5. I'm not certain how the TV guides work over in the West, but either which way, make sure you check it out Overtime tomorrow night.
Thanks a lot, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Next week, we hope to have Chris Pike in the studio with us as one of our regular panel members. Ben Ettridge will be back again. I'll be here as well. And we're going to have another swag of guests to talk to as well. And look forward to catching up again next week.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.